Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got a Key for Madness for you at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. We bumped it back a little bit, but I want to get to the ESPN NFL quarter century team, too. We're just talking about this off the air. There's some wild, well, omissions. There's a few wild names on the list.
I like a list. I like a ranking. I like an all-time team.
There's a lot of Patriots on there.
There should be. They should be very well represented over the last 25 years of football. But there's some head scratchers on there, like you said. So looking forward to talking about that.
We'll do that coming up. Probably 1 o'clock is when we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. We still have the grab bag, clip du jour, all that good stuff. We'll go on the clock in a moment. Give you a 60-second plan for what the Red Sox should do now that they've moved on from Rafael Devers. But real quick on the win last night, that they did need that one.
Yeah.
And I think to Bradford's point, and I think we felt this way too, just listening to some of the players, Jaren Duran among them, I don't think the clubhouse misses Rafael Devers. I think they're happy he's out of the room. But I also think there probably is some trepidation about how good the team will be without him. It's like, oh, it's a relief that guy's gone. But now we got to win ball games without a guy who is an overrated but good player.
Yeah.
And an easy way to keep that doubt going and have it snowball and get away from you is come out and lose a bunch of games right after you deal him. And losing that first series, I think, would have really hurt, especially when you're going into the next series head-to-head against Devers, where that could really continue to snowball. And Garrett Crochet didn't let it happen. So that's why you got Crochet. Who traded for him again?
That'd be your guy.
Oh, Craig Breslow.
Gregory Breslow.
He got the best player on the team. Right. Oh, interesting. And people hate him and think he's a bum. Got it. But Garrett Crochet had to go out and get that done.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was his sharpest self yesterday. Wild pitches. And he was hit more than typically is. But I wouldn't call it a bad start. He did exactly what you needed him to do in that spot. And I think that was an important win to take that series in Seattle against a team you're battling for a playoff spot right after the Devers trade.
Huge, because they had also now won four straight series. So you didn't want to win three series with Devers, then trade him, then immediately lose the next series to a team that you're right in the thick of it with. There's a bunch of teams, if you want to start paying attention to the wildcard standings, that are all right around each other, including Seattle. So they go out, they win. Not that you're going to win every Crochet start the rest of the year, but you need to have a really high percentage in those ones, because they need to figure out the offense. They need to figure out, they got to score more runs. They got to get guys hot. But in the meantime, those Crochet games, you need to win those pitcher's duels, and they did. Also, we've been all over Cora for having a really bad year. He's had a bad year in, out of the clubhouse, decisions on the field. He's been a mess. Good call yesterday. He didn't just go with, well, Chapman will pitch the ninth because Chapman's our closer, and that's what most guys do. That's usually the knee-jerk reaction. A lot of times it's the closer that doesn't want to be flexible on that.
Good point.
And you had the big dumper, Cal Raleigh, due up third in the eighth inning. And they're like, no, Chapman's going to pitch the eighth. And he did, and he was great. And then Weissert came in for the ninth.
Well, maybe it's simplistic to say, you know, they're winning games now, and so we feel better about Cora and his decision-making. Well, yeah. Like, maybe it's that simple. They're winning, so we feel better about it. But Cora's leaned on some of his starters in that Yankee series specifically, Bayo and Crochet. And I liked that, although with Crochet bringing him back out for the ninth against the Yankees, he did give up the game-tying home run, but he's dominant. Leaned on Bayo. He played all his right. He stacked his lineup with righties against the Yankees over the weekend. He sat Meyer and Anthony in two out of three games each, which I didn't like going into the weekend. That worked out. Chapman pitching the eighth, I felt a little rocky about. I got the logic, but I felt a little rocky about when he went in yesterday. So they're winning games. Maybe it's just, what came first, chicken or the egg situation.
Yeah,
winning games, sure. So I like the core decision making. but I do feel like he's been better. And I think getting Devers out of his hair, Bradford wouldn't put it this way, and he didn't to us, but I'll read between the lines. He compared it to, you know, Terry Francona getting Manny off the team. And it's like, well, yeah, he's a different guy. I was wrong about this in real time. I thought Cora was upset they traded Devers. That's wrong. I think he can breathe again. Even Cora is on board with it. So you can discuss. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Buck Keefe, every Thursday at high noon.
That's right.
We like to we'll put something on the clock and give you a plan or a take in 60 seconds. Today, we're going to explain what the Red Sox should do now that they move Rafi Devers in just 60 seconds. Now, I feel like you've gone first. I've given you the first ups.
Yeah, I've hit lead
a lot
of
the last few weeks. Good point. That's unfair to you.
All right, switch it
up.
You want
to have last ups.
That's right.
You want to be able to bat in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Leave the last impression with the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
So I'll go first here if you could put me on the clock, Nick. Okay, here's what the Red Sox should do now that they move Rafi Devers in just 60 seconds. Playoffs are obviously in reach. They're in a playoff spot today. They're only 4.5 games back of the Yankees, so the Red Sox should absolutely go for it. The question is, how? I'd trade prospects for pitching help, and I would start by calling up the Seattle Mariners, Luis Castillo, a guy who just pitched against you. He's 4-5, 3.38 ERA. Red Sox were sniffing around on him in the offseason. I'd call them. I'd also call the Marlins if it fails with the Mariners. Edward Cabrera, 2-2, 4.10 ERA. Sandy Alcantara, former Cy Young winner, although he's having a horrible season, ERA approaching 7. I'm calling on those guys. It's not all, though. They need a right-handed bat in the middle of the order. Picking's more slim here. I like Taylor Ward, 18 homers. Eugenio Suarez, 21 homers. I commit to playing the youth full-time. That's Anthony. That's Meyer. And, yes, even Christian Campbell. I make sure they're playing. I punt David Hamilton, Connor Wong, and Brennan Bernardino into the sun. Don't need to see them. And if all else fails, check John Henry and see if he'll sell the team is what I would do.
Sell the team at the end there? You're going to sell the team?
We'll just check.
Tucking that one in at the buzzer.
Well, yeah, really. Check and see if, you know, unpack. The Dodgers went for $10 billion. Just check with him. Check with the man. Okay. I don't know what you think of that plan, but let's put Keefe on the clock. 60 seconds.
All right, here's what the Red Sox need to do now, and they do need to make a couple more trades between now and the deadline, and I think there's a Haas out there that you can get that can hit in the middle of your lineup, right-handed stick, goes by the name Brent Rooker.
Oh,
the Oakland A's or the Sacramento A's or whatever they are, I think you can get him. He is under contract for a few more years, so you might have to give up some pretty good prospects to get him, but he's a right-handed stick, so you bring him in. I'm with Jones. I would go to Seattle as well. Call for any one of their pitchers. Doesn't matter who it is. Get a deal done for one of their starters. I'm also... We talk a lot about first base. I'm going to make somebody else play first base this time around. Trevor Story, get ready to learn first base, buddy, because Bregman's coming back to play third. Meyer's going to be at short. I'm also going to bring Sadon Rafaela into the infield to play second. Campbell's going back to Worcester. Roman Anthony can play his spot in left. Jaron Duran's in center, and Willy Abreu is in right field. So the lineup's going to look a lot better top to bottom. Campbell can figure it out in the minor league level, have him ready to go for next year. But now you have Crochet, you have the Mariners guy. The whole team looks a lot better.
Okay. I like the Rooker idea.
Yeah.
The text line actually sent, and this might be high-end, but if you want to get them both, go for it. Go get me Brent Rooker and Mason Miller from the A's. I think Hart...
Oh, Mason Miller. Yeah, Hart loves is obsessed with Mason Miller. So I think, I would love both. You have more of a need, though, for Rooker based on this team.
Is Rooker, is he really available? Because that's way better than the right-handed bats that I suggested.
He may not be available.
It looks like they bought out all his arbitration years, and it definitely is older. He's under team control till he's 36 in 2031.
Okay, but still, I'm in on him. If that's a real name that's available, I'm in on him for sure.
I just feel like, because obviously the way my mind works, I'm like, what about Kyle Tucker? It's like, well, the Cubs are in first place. Like,
Pete 15 games over 500.
Yeah, like, what about Pete Alonso? Well the Mets are playoff teams. Those are two guys that I want more. You're going to have to wait till the offseason.
That's why I left Alonso off my list, too. Alonso's a free agent target. He's not a trade target.
And so even though they...
Because the Mets wouldn't move him right now.
Yeah, but I'm like, well, the A's are horrible. Maybe they're not even as bad as you thought they might be, but they're in last place. So some of those teams... Maybe you get a decent return. And now when you're talking about minor leaguers with the Red Sox, you're obviously not talking about the big three because those guys are all at the major league level. So you're like, all right, what other prospects do you have? And if you can bring in somebody like Rooker, because they definitely could use another righty bat. And if it's not Pete Alonso, maybe it's Rooker. And now that DH is freed up, that's another spot for him to play.
So the reason I honed in on Ward and Suarez is I think you have an opportunity, and Ward's played a lot of outfield. I think you have an opportunity for guys who, again, are right-handed bats who can certainly plug in at DH.
Yep.
But I would imagine Suarez, you can, and he wouldn't object to it. I would imagine Suarez could spend some time at first base. I mean, Ward's been a corner outfielder. Could he do it? So I was trying to hone in on guys who could maybe give you some versatility at those two spots. But regardless, I'd prioritize the right-handed bat. Marcelo Zuna is another one I thought about.
Yeah.
Maybe he's available with the Braves.
What do you do with Story, Meyer, Bregman when Bregman comes back?
Story, Meyer. What I would do is I would play Bregman at third. I would play Meyer at short. Meyer's been awesome defensively at third.
Yeah.
And I would play Story at second where he was really good. I mean, that's what I would do.
And then so would your first baseman be what? Just still Toro Gonzalez?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, hopefully you're trading for somebody, but,
well, right,
but you're,
right.
you're piecing it together with that.
Yeah, so some of that might be.
And so, I mean, look.
They got to figure that thing out.
Devers is gone. Maybe you go back to the Campbell experiment and you have him do that in Worcester. Because, like, I think he's starting to head in that direction. I said I'd commit to the youth, but Campbell's on the clock.
Campbell,
I mean, he's been here and spiraling now for a while. Anthony and Meyer hit a home run last night. It's not like either one's slugging the crap out of the ball, but they did just get here. But I definitely give them a lot more time than him.
I'm letting those guys play, and at least Meyer is like helping the team. Like, not just the home run last night, but he's good defensively. So, like, all right.
Well,
whereas Campbell's not good defensively.
Let me ask you this. Is there any merit to you leave Meyer at third because he's playing well there, and they talked about Bregman going to second?
No. I would say Bregman, let him play. I think Meyer might be one of these guys that would also be good at second. He'd probably be good at first.
Well,
he is good at short.
Like, I disagree.
He's already moving around. I would just let Bregman play third.
Do you think Bregman would do it if they asked?
Plus, yeah, of course I do. Of course he would.
I also think that, but, like, do we really know?
I think he would. Also,
actually, yeah, don't even toy around with that, Breslow.
But also, like, you don't want him to opt out.
Stop asking guys to change positions.
Alex, would you move to second base?
No, but if you're worried about him opting out, like, I'd be like, you're a third baseman.
Yeah, no, it's fair. But I'm just saying, Meyer has been good at third, though.
It would be a good F you to Devers. Bregman's playing second now.
Yeah. That's true, too. Devers is now playing for San Francisco, and Bregman's now at second. What the hell?
So that would be pretty great. But no, they got to figure that out, because Meyer 100% needs to be with the big club. Campbell really doesn't. I was of the mindset a couple weeks ago, like, these guys all need to play all the time and figure out a position. But even then, they're not doing that. Campbell's starting in center field the other day.
Twitch chat thinks I'm contradicting myself. No, Meyer's actually good at third base, unlike Devers, who sucks.
It is
so, like, I mean, defensively, and it's the future of your franchise.
Right.
It's not, you know, a selfish teammate. So, no, but the idea is that Meyer has been good defensively at third. Devers sucked there for years.
I think, barring a trade, that they get, like, a real first baseman or something like that, barring a trade, my guess is, to upset the fewest number of people, Meyer just plays second. He'd already done it a little bit with Worcester, and they say, all right, Bregman, Story, you guys stand on second. Story's actually playing pretty well right now.
He is, but if Meyer's here, and he's the future of your franchise, and he's a natural shortstop, I just rip the Band-Aid off, and that's where he's playing. And Trevor Story, you may not want to play second, but tough, I don't even want you on the team.
No,
so you can go to second base.
Well, that's how I feel.
And you can keep the bench warm there, or keep the spot warm until Campbell either starts hitting in AAA and comes back up.
In my plan, I have Story at first base. So I'm just saying, for, like, what the team, like, my guess for the team would be Meyer ends up playing shortstop.
Keep the harmonious vibes.
Or no, Meyer ends up playing
second, my guess. But stay away from any more bad vibes. Pissing
vibes
anybody else off.
Pretty good. It was like a
do they?
A transaction at the pizza party.
I like.
You don't think that in the clubhouse though? I think they're good. What's wrong with the clubhouse?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just think they're probably happy Devers is gone. I think they're happy about that. I wouldn't go so far to say the vibes are good.
Well, I mean, guys that
people are openly calling Breslow I know it's baseball ops, but, like, I feel like that's kind of permeating the whole organization.
Yeah, the guys that are currently on the team, I think, are like, all right, we don't have Devers in here, who was probably just, like, such a, like,
rain cloud
inside the clubhouse. And so everybody probably feels a little bit better about it. The guys that should be playing every day are. Even a few guys who probably shouldn't be are. Like, there's so many opportunities right now that I bet they're feeling pretty good. You know, you saw it play out even during the series without him. So we'll see. But I just, Breslow needs to make another move or two. Also, not just for the roster. I think the fan base desperately needs it, because the big fear is, like, all right, you just dumped $280 million. What are you going to do with that?
Breslow, for his own job security,
yes.
needs to make I'm not going to say a Devers level move.
No, but some of the guys we named aren't like pie in the sky, you know, like, oh, get this guy who's like an MVP candidate. Yeah. Or go, like the guy yesterday, get Paul Skeens.
Luis like, Castillo. No, no. I mean, you were asking for like Luis Castillo and Edward Cabrera. You're talking about, I don't know, the way the Mariners view it, probably their third best starter at best. And Cabrera, I don't even know how the Marlins
he's
would look
up
at
and
him.
Down.
Yeah. You know, he's, I think he's having a fine, not great year, but I think he would help your rotation. And I'm asking for Taylor Ward and Eugenio Suarez. I mean, I don't think we're asking for, you know, as you said, Kyle Tucker and Pete Alonso.
But I think another big one.
He needs moves like that, and those guys need to get here and contribute. It can't be, and we'll go through these moves again coming up. It can't be Danny Jansen, James Paxton off the scrap heap, and two bum-ass relievers who I barely remember their names.
Sims and Garcia.
Yeah.
One of them was Lucas. One of them was Luis.
Who is which?
It doesn't matter.
Find out in a future random baseball player.
I was going to ask Bradford, but we're talking so much about Devers and Breslow and the return and everything else. But at what point does Christian Campbell just get sent down? Because if they were five games out of it, I would have been like, let's write up. Well, but you're in it. You're in the playoff
race. Let's answer the question. At what point? Yesterday was bad. I mean, he struck out. He was pissed. He slammed his helmet. They took him out of the game and replaced him, I think, with Rafaela.
So
like, yesterday feels like they're teetering. I wouldn't give him much more time.
At this rate, it's the second Bregman's called up is an obvious one. But it's like, is it even prior to that? Like, if you're like, hey, Nate Eaton's up, I'd be like, what?
No, that's probably a good timeline for it. When Bregman comes back,
he's down.
If he's still scuffling and striking out an inordinate amount and not making hard contacts, I mean, even when he bleeds out a hit, you know, he's not hitting it hard.
He's played in 67 of the 76 games.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean
he has 72 strikeouts.
That doesn't mean he goes back down to Worcester for the rest of the year either.
No.
So if he's still scuffling, Bregman comes back, that's probably a good line in the sand for it.
That kind of needs to be it, though, because you're putting David Hamilton in over him at second base. Even though David Hamilton is playing every day, that's not an upgrade.
No,
he is a negative war.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
He's horrible defensively.
Right.
So I believe that. And
he's not good at the plate. There's not a third phase,
okay,
is
but,
there?
Well, okay, but at least in April, you're like, boy, he's tough in the field. It's literally his first game. We said it after his first game.
Yeah.
His first game, you saw everything with Christian Campbell. I saw the bat.
He was socking the ball, though.
He was hitting it hard, but you're like, the guy looks clueless in the field. And I think that played out for the best Christian Campbell. Hopefully he's going to be a better bat than he has been now. And you don't have to send him down forever if you even send him down. But if he's not hitting by the time Bregman comes back, that's probably a good line in the sand. Now, Keith,
they only have five guys on the roster that have a negative war. Five hitters, I should say. Mm-hmm. Position players. Two of the guys you don't even know are on the team. Blake Sable.
Oh, well,
he's not on the team anymore.
He was a backup catcher.
No, he played eight games. He has a negative war.
Okay.
Nick Sogard, negative war.
I'm surprised he was a negative war. He wasn't good, but I'm surprised he went negative.
Okay. Sorry. Connor Wong.
That makes sense.
Negative war.
Zero RBIs, however many games into the year. That makes sense.
Does he have an extra base hit yet?
Connor Wong?
Oh, I don't.
No.
I doubt it. No, always bet on it.
He's got 10 base knocks, all singles.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Has he scored a run, just out of curiosity?
Six runs scored.
Oh, nice. Well, he can scoot once he gets on.
No runs driven in.
But for a catcher, he can scoot once he's there.
Those are all home runs. Yeah. No, run very fast.
No, those were probably all extra inning. He was the last guy on and then scored because he was the imaginary runner.
Good theory. It wasn't even when he actually got on base. Yeah.
And then Campbell and then Tristan Casas. He left us with a negative war as well. He was terrible.
Yeah, not good.
Yep.
Okay. By the way, maybe a real missed opportunity for our on the clock. We came up with this yesterday before we left. We're like, oh, we should do what the Red Sox are going to do now that Rafael Devers is gone.
Yeah.
Could have done 60 seconds each on the Karen Reed.
We could have done the Karen Reed trial.
Could have done that. Quick on the clock.
Man.
What happened?
Nick's like, I wasn't paying attention.
Nick's not surprised by the news. I mean, Nick, for years and years, was like, she's innocent.
Are you going to watch the Netflix doc?
Yes, definitely.
Are you going to watch the feature film that eventually will be made?
Oh, is there one in the works? You're just theorizing.
I'm pretty sure there will be.
Yeah, sure, I'll probably watch that.
Who do you think will play Karen Reed?
Great question. It's really more your side of the street.
It is.
Who will play Karen Reed?
I think maybe... Now, I'm not trying to insult anybody.
Say what you're going to say. Say it with your chest.
Marissa Tomei?
Oh,
No. That's like very, very complimentary of Karen Reed is my point. I'm not trying to insult Marissa Tomei. I'm saying, could it be Marissa Tomei?
Nice.
She could be good.
That would be good.
We know she's good in a courtroom drama.
You would know the name. She was Michelle something or other. She was in The Hot Break Kid with Ben Stiller.
Michelle Monaghan.
Boom.
Good one.
She could definitely
saw that
do
somewhere
it.
Online yesterday.
Oh, that was a
yeah,
theory.
I forget who it was. Just a random account's like, ooh, she should play her in the movie.
Yeah, yeah,
good one.
We'll see who plays Greg Hill. I don't know.
Great question.
We'll see, I think it would be cast in the film.
I know. I was really rooting for them to get Alan Jackson in.
I know.
On studio. It doesn't sound like that's happening anymore.
No, it doesn't sound like. But, certainly not for free.
But I do know that Keith's name has been slandered and dragged through the mud.
Text line says Diane Lane. That wouldn't be bad.
Oh, nice.
Diane Lane?
Nice. Diane Lane's got like 30 years on Karen.
I was going to say, yeah, you're going to have
to. I mean, that doesn't mean anything because Diane Lane's still throwing gas, I assume.
Right.
How old's Karen Reed?
Some hard
did they
years
say in
there,
this whole
though,
thing?
Yeah.
That must have come
45,
out. 45,
maybe? 44?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, now this is definitely a missed opportunity.
Dude, this says
who would have played Karen Reed in 60 seconds?
Now, Bing says 65. There's no way she's 65.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely not 45,
no way.
Though.
No. Diane Lane, he's saying, is 65.
Oh, Diane Lane. No.
Yeah.
Bing, look at
I thought
Bing.
You were saying Diane Lane earlier was 45. I'm like, she's definitely older
than
that.
No, I was saying Karen Reed's probably 45.
I just typed 45. In Karen Reed age, 65 years.
Oh, Karen Reed, 65. You're right. I had that backwards.
No, but she's not.
No.
There's no chance.
No.
But anyway, we'll find it. We'll find an actress.
Well, maybe there's like
there's AI. It's like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it does not work.
It's Gemini, guys.
Trying to break through to my second interview with the Red Sox here, and I'm stuck on Karen Reed 65. Can't be it.
617-779-7937. Let's get to my guy, Brez. Relitigate his track record with big league moves. We'll do that right after trending with
45.
Nice.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm going to do my best not to focus on the end portion, the Yoshida Cassis part, because I get confused every time I hear it. He's like, well, Seattle didn't want him, but if they did, they had a deal there. I'm kind of confused about that
portion. I feel like it must have gotten far enough along for Castillo to at least raise the question about the taxes and everything else.
And the first question Carrabas was asked is like, do you believe in the Castillo interest? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, for sure. So I just think that's another example. Forget about the Cassis Yoshida part as the return. Because I the first time I listened to it, I thought that was something Seattle was on board with and Castillo blocked it. No, sounds like Seattle had their hesitation with Cassis and Yoshida as well. And that's on the wildly popular Marine Layer podcast.
But also
out in Seattle. But it was close enough to your point, Keith, where Castillo's like, well, hey, I believe there's no income tax in the state of Washington. He'd come here to the Commonwealth.
I'm going to go play for the Kraken.
And he's like, well, wait a minute. I'm about to lose out on all this money. What can you guys do? And John Henry's like, yeah, we're not going to give you another dime.
Yeah.
Like, figure that out, which honestly, you know, I don't even know whether the players union would allow them to do that or could they guarantee a bonus or something like that to make him whole. I have no idea. But the idea that Henry's like, screw off, I don't need a player. If he wants more money, I don't need him. To me is a big issue here, and Castillo's another example of that.
Yeah, that's a tough one, and that sort of stands in the way of, you know, why free agency the last few years until this year was not very good. Right? They were interested in everybody because that sort of leads you to believe that whether it was Chaim Bloom or Craig Breslow, they would talk to these free agents, they would get the general interest in them, and then they'd be like, all right, here's the number, and they're like, can you go any higher? They're like, no, we can't. Like, we're maxed out.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we're going to go sign somewhere else. And it happened all the time. Like, a guy like Seth Lugo all the way to the extreme of Juan Soto, which maybe was a smart move not to get him in hindsight. Who knows?
Maybe.
But either way, it's like, all right, if they were talking to Seattle, they were trying to get something done there, and then the finances stood in the way, which is what you would think a small market team would be dealing with and not a big market team.
And it's what the Giants owner, I think it's Greg Johnson, it's what he said at the press conference introducing Rafael Devers. Now, look, this could just be an example of an owner wanting to take credit for pushing a deal across the line. They all have giant egos, and they want credit for everything. Case in point, Robert Kraft thinks the whole dynasty is about him. So, you know, maybe Greg Johnson's just doing that.
oh, well, you know, well, the Red Sox were asking for too much, and I called John Henry, and I said, hey, you got to back off your offer. And, oh, by the way, this deal would never get done unless I paid the whole salary. So he might just be an owner up there taking credit because they all want credit for everything, because mostly they do nothing except just pay the bills when they come due. So they just sit there. And so whenever they can take credit and make it seem like they do more than they actually do, they try to. I'll allow for that. But there's a lot of these with John Henry. And Luis Castillo is another one. That's a name I'd like the Red Sox to go get. In fact, I'd advise Chaim Bloom. Sorry, not Chaim Bloom. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Major faux pas for my guy Craig Breslow. That, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of similarities there.
CB.
So do
Yale.
You...
But I would advise Breslow to go get that done.
But what I was trying to also ask Bradford about was, is the Devers deal a good deal, a bad deal, or in between? Because it's like the Red Sox obviously wanted to unload it for all of their own personal reasons. Fine. But around baseball, was it like, oh, man, we have to eat this contract? Like, if you have to eat the contract, that suggests it's like this unbelievable, like, why would a team sign that? You see it in the NBA all the time where you're like, well, this guy blows. Like, why are you paying that? Like, oh, well, it's just a financial thing. But with what's remaining on the contract, it's going to be – it's under $300 million, which I know is still a lot of money. But there are a lot of guys in the majors right now.
No, but I think
– making more than that. So it's
Buster,
like
– Buster Olney had the report yesterday. Most of the baseball thinks he's not going to age well. He's paid too much money. He doesn't even play the field anymore, although he might with the Giants.
So most first base
most weekend. Of baseball doesn't think it's a good contract.
Right.
Now, again, I care less about the contract and more about the team on the field, unless the guy's just a crap-ass teammate hurting the product on the field, which he has been – this year specifically, and I'm starting to wonder, how much was he impacting things a year ago when they were 500?
But
or the years before that where they were in last place?
I just think it's funny because if Mookie Betts or like Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani or somebody was like available and got traded, the first question would be, did they eat all the money? Like, eat all the money? No, they like gladly brought it in.
They're
like,
happily
thank God
it on.
We got this guy.
Yeah, no, so I think it's not viewed as a good deal.
Yeah, it must not be.
I mean, and I think that's
it
why.
It must not be. If
only one team was willing to take the whole thing on. So it's not a good deal. If all of baseball was like lining up to take him on, then you'd know you had a good deal. I understand.
And you
your
didn't
point.
Get their top prospect either. So, yeah, clearly it was looked at as more of a hindrance.
Before we get into my guy Breslow, we did get a bunch of these texts about who should play Karen Reed, as you suggested.
In the film? Yeah, there's
now,
some...
We liked Diane Lane.
Yeah.
We liked Marissa Tomei.
Might be a little old. Not to age shame anybody. I know you can goop them up with makeup and whatever. You can de-age them or you can age them, whatever you need to do.
Uh-huh.
But I finally figured out on Google, and it might be wrong, but Karen Reed is like 45.
Yeah.
So I was looking up 45-year-old actresses. I found some decent hits back. But the text line... What do you think of Anna Kendrick?
Anna Kendrick is Karen Reed.
Maybe. What about Hillary Swank?
Maybe. That I could see more.
Jessica Chastain?
I would say no on that.
Well, you'd have to change the hair color.
And well.
Vera Farmiga.
I don't know who that is.
She was in The Departed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Uh-huh. Olivia Wilde?
I could also see that one.
I could actually see that.
I could kind of see that.
Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd, I could see.
You She's still making movies?
Good question. You know, it was a popular text.
What's that?
Mego.
For Karen Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. Go with an unknown. Not, I mean, known to us, but like for the people that go to the cinema, it'd be a bit of an unknown.
Yeah, get the reel going.
They're like Boston sports journalist Megan Ollini as Karen Reed.
Yeah.
It could be your big break.
Sometimes. Yeah. You know, you love Severance, Keith. There are a lot of off the charts hires you didn't really know about, and then you go, "Whoa, that's a star." Could be Mego.
I don't know if these people have seen these actresses or Karen Reed, but it's not going to be Lindsay Lohan or Blake Lively.
No,
that's out.
No, well,
stock up or down on Blake Lively after her lawsuit? Maybe she's just she should play herself in that story.
Nice. Well, we settled on Breslow, more hits than misses on his moves. I think the two most questionable moves are Sale and Devers, and ownership played a big role in that. We know the return on Sale was terrible. We think the return on Devers is terrible, but we really don't know yet. But we do think
TBD.
And so the bigger misses, I would say Breslow certainly failed at. Last year's deadline, to me, I certainly would hold against him. He needs to do a better job at this deadline, no doubt about it. But he ain't Chaim Bloom. Like, to me, he's much better, despite me mixing up their names. He's much better than Chaim Bloom. Let's go to Bob in the car. Hello, Bob.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty great.
Excellent. Hey, so my question is this. You talk about that Castillo thing, and we're trying to rip the Red Sox to say they wouldn't take on Castillo's money. But what if we looked at it that maybe, as they said in the story, Seattle was like, listen, you got to eat some of Yoshida's money. You got to eat most of Cass's money. And this was just the last straw where Boston was finally like, listen, we're going to eat all this money. We're not also going to bump up Castillo. That's too much.
Yeah, maybe. I still don't even know
if you can. Like, I don't know what the deal is.
I just don't get why Henry's so worried about that. We're not talking about massive contracts. I mean, Yoshida's wasted money right now.
Yeah.
Castillo doesn't make a crap ton of money. Even at the end of the day.
Do you think they would circle back on that,
though? Devers has long-term money, but AAV, it's not terrible. It's terrible how many years you're tied to. What was your question?
I was going to say, now that you basically took $30 million per year off the books for the next 10 years, would you circle back on the Castillo thing and be like, all right, if we have to give him a little bit of a raise, like we're still way up.
Sure.
But what positive?
What do the Mariners want?
I don't know.
It didn't sound like they wanted Cass as he's hurt. Yoshida, I mean, I doubt it.
Well, the Mariners are strange. Was it 2 years ago? They were in playoff position. Then they traded their closer like at the deadline. Well, they have a surplus of arms.
They are in playoff position. So like, how do you match up with them? That is a difficult one, which is why I had a fallback with the Marlins. If you can't get Castillo,
you traded the password. Put that guy in the
throw that at him. Yeah. Then I am interested in some of the Marlins pitchers. Alcantara is interesting. He's been horrible. He's been really bad. His ERA is approaching 7. But he's won a Cy Young. He's coming back from injury. So
A couple injuries.
Yeah. I still think it's an interesting name to be like, hey, what do you need for him? Mm. And if not, Edward Cabrera is another one. Okay, 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. We'll get to, and we've teased this a bunch. We had to bump it back in the show. But the NFL quarter century team, some omissions, some interesting inclusions.
One of them has to be like a grudge match. I think you know who I'm talking about, but there's one guy you're like, how is he not on there?
A lot of Patriots on there. So we'll get to that coming up at 1 o'clock. But on the way next, it's the madness. Kiefer Madness.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. It's time for the madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And Jones, once again, we have a story involving a restaurant in New York. Of course, earlier in the week, it was a restaurant that held a Pedro Pascal lookalike contest. Pedro Pascal would probably find a way into the Karen Reed movie just because he's in every single movie.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I don't know who he'd play.
Yeah, good question.
He'd just pop in. Alan Jackson.
He could pull it off.
Sure.
He could Alan Jackson it up. Alan Jackson's like a goatee beard kind of combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pedro could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Objection. He could do that for sure.
Yeah, but he got
Pedro Pascal in the Karen Reed story.
The winner of that lookalike contest was rewarded with a bean and cheese burrito once a week for the rest of the year.
And $50.
And
$50.
Yep.
So I did have that. This is a little bit of a different story.
That was our offer to get Karen Reed and
$50
Alan Jackson on WEEI. Yeah, yeah.
Like, we'll wait.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that. All right, let's find out what's going on.
He really is tasty looking out there.
On Thursday, Peter's Clam Bar in Hempstead, Long Island, decided to celebrate National Lobster Day and Father's Day with a splash.
First of all, great use of, splash.
I nailed it.
Did you know that Father's Day was also Lobster Day? No. International Lobster Day?
No.
I didn't have any lobsters on Father's Day, which seems like a miss.
I know you were busy in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament.
I'm still sore from that, by the way.
It was the Bunker Hill Day Parade in Charlestown, so there's a lot of overlap.
You were busy.
Yeah,
busy I didn't day. Bring in my championship ring yet. I will.
Oh, yeah,
you should. I'll bring that in tomorrow.
Nice.
I'll wear it all day.
On Thursday, Peter's Clam Bar in Hempstead, Long Island, decided to celebrate National Lobster Day and Father's Day with a splash by setting Lorenzo, a 21-pound, 110-year-old lobster, free.
What? 110-year-old lobster.
Is this guy AI?
Something's up.
A little off.
Something's up.
He got the job, though, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So we're feeling good about that.
Wait, so they're going to
110-year-old lobster who's been in, like, captivity or a tank
at a place this whole time, and they're like, you know what, bud? We're going to let you out.
This thing's going to go get mangled in the ocean.
How do you think he's going to do?
It's going to go get mangled.
How did Brooksy do in Shawshank? Not great. Not great. I feel like it's the same fate for this guy.
Lobster's 110 years. Hanging himself off a lobster trap.
He's like, but like.
What was the lobster's name again?
I don't. What was it?
Did they say?
Yeah, they do. They have a name. Lorenzo?
Okay. Lorenzo was here. He carves it into the ocean floor.
He's like, just please take me. Please take me. Yeah, this guy's not prepared for the wild seas of the ocean.
See, I don't like this because he's going to get just ripped apart in the ocean, and now somebody else is going to enjoy all that delicious Lorenzo meat.
The sweet, sweet Lorenzo meat. You like your Lorenzo with hot butter or a little bit of mayo? What do you like your Lorenzo with?
Such a shame.
By setting Lorenzo, a 21-pound, 110-year-old lobster, free.
21 pounds. That's a lot. That's big claws.
Haws of the week.
Haws of the week, Lorenzo?
Haws of the week, yeah.
Lorenzo's dead, though. There's no way. This story's from last week. There's no way Lorenzo.
No.
Lorenzo is absolutely dead.
Lorenzo, Haws of the week.
No chance he made it.
Well, Lorenzo just kind of like slipped through the cracks, and he ended up in our tank for years.
Well, he didn't slip through the cracks. So he just was in their tank for years, so nobody ate him for years and years and years?
Probably eating all the other lobsters.
He's 110 years old?
Yeah.
That's wild. He's seen some stuff.
He's like a vampire lobster.
Do you think he was watching Celtic City being like, yeah.
Saw that.
Great first couple episodes. I remember all this stuff. I was there for that.
The Koozie years.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Koozie was great.
Honestly, he's probably got a lot of awkward takes on society.
I don't agree with all of his takes.
I wouldn't ask him about, pre-1960s.
Keep it kind of modern there, Lorenzo.
Yeah, keep all the World War II era stuff to yourself, Lorenzo.
Butch Yamley is the owner of the restaurant. He says the crustacean had become a fixture at the establishment.
Some of these lobsters just don't live that long, and this one did.
Yeah, because you guys eat them.
I don't get. Did he?
What do you mean they don't live that long? Did you guys eat them?
Did he fly under the radar, or was he a fixture? Oh, meaning a fixture, he was just there.
I think he became a fixture.
Display. Okay, got it.
No. Like a lot of these places have like tanks open, and you're like, pick that one. That's a fresh lobster.
Yeah,
it's just pull them right out and then boil them, cook them alive. It's not great, but that's what happens, and they're delicious.
So we figured, what better way to start celebrate Father's Day but with free Lorenzo?
I could think of a lot of better ways to celebrate Father's Day. Freeing a 110-year-old lobster?
Yeah, cooking Lorenzo would be a better way to celebrate it.
And giving it out to all the fathers who happen to be there.
The hungry fathers.
Nine holes of golf would have been better than freeing a 110-year-old lobster who's going to immediately die in the ocean.
Did the man die?
Yes.
He did.
feed Lorenzo to the hungry, hungry fathers who spend their whole year.
Is Lorenzo a father? Is he like a breeding lobster? Like, what do we even know?
They spend the whole year setting their fantasy lineup on the toilet, hiding from their family.
That's right.
Reward them.
Give them a day.
Yeah, please.
I became like a pet. People would come see and take pictures with and just, like an object of the store.
We wanted to do something that was a little bit extra special.
Hempstead Town Supervisor Don Clavin and Nassau County Legislature John Ferretti joined together to officially pardon and release Lorenzo back into the wild.
Pardon.
All of this echoing a similar tale with Lenny, another giant lobster that the restaurant freed.
What? How big
what
was,
are they doing?
How big was Lenny?
Lenny or Linny? Like Laura Linney, who could also play Karen Reed?
Might be Linny. Oh, yeah.
If need be.
Oh, Laura Linney.
Laura Linney could do it.
She could definitely do it.
Laura Linney can act.
She
put her acting shoes on. She'll act circles around you. Laura Linney's had some good...
What's she been up to? Well, she working actor these days?
Laura
or?
Linney?
Yeah.
She's not working.
Okay, I was just curious.
I would say Laura Linney's...
You watch more stuff than I do. But yeah.
I mean...
Was it Linney or Lenny?
Laura Linney crushed it in Ozark.
Oh, there you go.
That was her in Ozark.
Sure.
She's been in so many things.
So Lenny the Lobster.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Lorenzo the Lobster.
Yeah, what else has she been in?
Okay.
She's both screen and stage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Almost to the EGOT.
Yeah, she could EGOT.
She could EGOT it. Yeah. She was in Gutenberg the Musical. This last year.
Didn't see it.
No?
No.
A tradition of giving these ancient crustaceans a second chance at life.
Yeah, I don't know how well that's going to go.
They're not giving all of them. Let's not give them too much credit. They're cooking a lot of these guys.
They're eating most of them.
they're boiling most of them alive.
Toss a few back.
But they are tossing a few back, yeah.
When asked if Lorenzo would be missed.
He's going to be missed, but I think it's better like this because he passed away here. It wouldn't be a good thing.
I suppose that's true. Or it would be great. Somebody just ate 21 pounds of lobster.
Well, he said if he passed away. I think it means
it'd be
like
natural causes, I suppose.
Kicks the bucket in the tank. That's no good.
I don't know.
I couldn't have a heart to sell him.
And just like that, Lorenzo was returned to the Atlantic Beach Reef, back to the open sea, his home once again. In Hempstead, Long Island, Corey McGinnis, PIX 11 News.
Corey McGinnis, not AI. It's a real man.
Oh.
It's a real human man.
Allegedly. Yeah. Good text here. I hope whoever cooks him doesn't put fresh lobster on the sign, because Lorenzo's 110 years old. Probably tastes like dust.
It might not be great.
Yeah, maybe.
It might not be great.
Maybe at a certain point, that's why they're like, no one wants this lobster. The thing tastes like sawdust.
Apparently there was a George the Lobster who was 140 years old.
Insane.
I like what the restaurant's doing with the L names. Lorenzo, Linny. Like George the Lobster?
George?
Lorenzo the Lobster. Makes sense.
Yeah, this is AI overview, and it says, quote unquote, George, estimated to be 140 years old.
Would you get that George tail? No, I'm eating the George claws. George claws for me. And George tail's good.
Yeah, buddies who eat like the legs and like the little ends of like the tail.
I am that buddy.
You eat all that stuff?
I eat the whole thing. Well, I don't eat the eyes. I don't really like the head, but some people do.
You're ripping off like the legs and eating those?
I'm sucking the meat out of the legs of a lobster.
Is already too much work.
Yeah.
The people who do that for not enough reward.
Especially a soft shell.
The people who do that, though.
Oh, I'm biting all eight legs. Yeah.
Even the little like things off the end of the tail, there's like meat in those or eating those?
I've gone in there. Especially the soft shell. You can do anything you want. Pop those suckers open. Problem with the soft shell is usually there's not as much meat as the hard shells.
Yeah.
Get yourself a cracker and really get to work.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, it looks like a crime scene when I'm done with a lobster. Shells everywhere, guts out, everything.
So we should go looking. Should we go looking for?
I think he's dead. Lorenzo?
They should have Apple tagged him.
Huh?
They should have tagged him.
Air tagged him. Yeah, good call.
Smart.
Good call.
Yep.
All right, well, hopefully.
Swimming awful fast.
Hopefully.
Because all I picture is like those videos you see when somebody's like, oh, let's release this animal back into the wild, and then a hawk comes down.
Immediately.
Yeah. And grabs it immediately.
What a thing was used to just like hanging out in a cage all day or a tank all day, getting food
fed.
Dropped in, just hanging out. And I was like, I got to go get my own food.
Watching TV.
110
in the
years
restaurant?
Old. Go get it. Go get the stuff. You'll be fine. Oh, it'd be safe. And like learn all this stuff.
What eats a lobster besides people?
Humans.
Yeah, but what else?
Oh, sharks maybe?
Sharks eat lobster? I don't think that's the case.
Jaws was eating license plates.
Well, maybe it's actually
tires.
No, maybe some sharks. That makes sense. Like a nurse shark?
Sharks, rays, octopuses, what crabs, kind of
octopi?
Fish. Even, Jones, this is messed up. Other lobsters?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think that's how he got so big in the tank.
Yeah. Yep.
That would make sense.
Eels eat them?
Yeah.
Eels.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Now, we don't know if he's a hard shell or a soft shell. If he's a hard shell lobster, he might have,
at 110, he's probably pretty soft. I'd imagine those days
never
are
know.
Over.
Could have gone northeast bends.
Yeah, it's
then
true.
He has no chance.
Calls up for Bill Belichick
water
for advice. Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine he's a soft shell these days.
Yeah. Even an otter will eat one.
Oh,
pants
really?
Pulled up to his
seals.
Chest. white belt.
He's got no chance. Yeah.
Okay, well, good luck.
Triggerfish will eat it.
Good luck to Lorenzo out there. I mean, you never know. He could be making his way to summer on the Cape.
A raccoon would eat one.
Really?
Yeah, raccoon in a little shallow water.
They
pluck you out.
They got
tear you open.
They got more enemies than I thought.
Ah, oh, Todd.
All right, so Lorenzo probably not going to make it to summering on the Cape.
Good luck, Bob.
Can he get from Hempstead to the Cape? Probably not.
No,
I don't feel good about those.
He's long gone.
Okay. That's the madness. Kiefer Madness. Every Tuesday, most Thursdays, 12:45, here on Jones and Keith.
He died doing what he loved, screaming as an eel ripped him apart. He's got no chance.
The guy's just been getting fat and happy in a tank, watching
but
TV,
like, what
getting
was the
fed
point?
For years.
They could have just left
what
him.
Do you mean, what's the point? Now
people were coming and taking pictures with him. Don't you want something
people
there?
People know about the restaurant now. They got a little track record of this. They're letting these guys go.
Yeah.
Some press, free press. Their goal is probably getting on Kiefer Madness, Keith.
I know.
If they were smart.
I know.
That was probably their end game.
Well, congrats.
617-779-7937. We got all your phone calls. We'll get to the NFL quarter century team, which we've been promising to do, coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.